Everybody, Stu Smith and Jeff Nichols back with another Tactical Fitness Report. And this one we have been stewing on for a few weeks. Jeff and I were talking about this one in the last podcast, and we were just talking about how these tribes tend to form with our training groups. And there are people who you find in your journey, you know, along this, especially if you're going in the Spec Ops journey, where you find people to train with, or you don't. You know, there's a lot of us, like, depending on where I was, I either had 10 people to train with when I was back at the academy preparing for this, teammates from rugby and, you know, throughout the school, or I had zero when I went back home. Right. And so I think sometimes it might be best to have a little bit of both. Right.
I think it comes down to training. Cause like, if you think about in the weight room, like I look at it like this, like my experience in sport in the weight room tended to lend to how it is that I like to train. You know what I mean? Like you grew up with football and rugby and weightlifting. And so when some of those sports, especially in the powerlifting side, you're not like in a busy gym. Right. And so there's a sense of like, hey, singularity in training, kind of quiet. But then the sport world, I think that that's where diversity comes in, and having like that, like, cause you and I both have diverse experience of like training and lifting and doing a sport on your own, like maybe wrestling or swimming. And then we've done team sports like football and baseball.
Right.
So it's interesting to see kind of, that's where this comes, is like, how did, like, what sort of tribe are people looking for too?
Yeah.
Not,
you know,
just, did I find a tribe or what kind? Everyone, there's a little bit of flavor with each tribe too.
Oh, absolutely. But you just brought up a really good point, because, you know, people ask, how do I find my tribe? Well, you just listed like six of them
right there.
You know, go play.
They're
your
linked
sports.
In your real passion. Like, not like, so that's the thing, is your tribe for me is linked in real community, not like, hey, things I kind of like and it's going to be a fad. Like, if you genuinely enjoy weight training, you're going to find people that you're like akin to. Right. It's just that in the spec war community, you can't like dip your toe in and see if you like it, you know, like, oh, I'm going to train for, and you, yes, you can kind of go train with Stu for a minute or me, but like to be fully invested, it's an investment, not a try.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I find it as anywhere, a tribe could be anything that, you know, there are going to be people when you go to a gym or to a swimming pool or to a tennis court, doesn't really matter, that they're going to be the same faces at the same time as you.
Yes.
Right. There are, you might not even know them. You know, chances are you don't until you start saying, oh, I know you.
See them every day in the gym and like your pleasantries.
Yeah.
Your good morning turns into, hey man, I see you in here all the time. Like, how is it that you're able to lift at 10 a.m. like most people at work? Like, you start going, oh, here's my life rhythm. I'm a police officer and I work the third shift, so I have to work at 10 a.m. before I go, like, oh, okay. This is a literal experience that I've had, and like going to gyms and like, cause I'd work out at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., which most normal people are at work.
Yeah.
So yeah, I found a little bit of a tribe internally in that gym. I'd see the same faces. You bet.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, when you're younger too, you know, you get some of those older guys in there that's been lifting for decades, you know, and then they recognize you, they see you, and they start offering assistance. And, you know, some of my best mentors have been, you know, sheriff deputies in the weight room at the same time as I was when I was a kid. So, you know, you kind of start off, you know, with that kind of, I guess, mindset of looking for like-minded people.
Yeah.
Because one of the worst things ever when you're on this spec ops journey is have somebody that is in your world, whether that's a family member or a close friend, that says, why you won't join the military? Why don't you get a real job? Right.
Yeah.
How many times you heard that one?
Right. For real. Yeah.
But one thing about it, like for your group and for my group, what's really unique is there are a group of like-minded people that never hear that in our group. Right. They become each other's social group. And now it's, you know, conversations like, when are you shipping? Have you been to MEPS yet? You know, the conversation changes in your tribe as your tribe changes.
Yeah, but as it authentically changes when you immerse yourself in there, like, because people can smell a fraud. Like when people are genuinely invested in a process and someone comes to join that process or join that tribe, like right away, man, like if you're not invested in the same manner that tribe was, it may not be a comfortable tribe for you, right? And it's like, it's interesting they're using the word tribe. It's like fully like straight out of Sebastian Junger's book, Tribe. Yeah. Like that's really what we're talking. It's
sure.
It's tribe is something that, like, I think Stu hit the nail on the head. It's like we experience is like for the last class that we had 11 people come in from all over the country. And pretty much all 11 of those guys come back here. Like the first couple of days, you got everyone kind of sniffing each other's butt. Cause that's kind of how like the sporting world, like you show up for tries or practice. Everyone's like, okay, where's my competition? Like what's going on? And then people have that reflexive behavior, but then they show up here and go, wait a minute, like I'm not going to take away from you. You can't take away from me. Wait, we really are on the same team. So it creates a really internally competitive and not a caustic training environment, right? And so in the spec world where you can't dip your toe in, most people don't experience this because like what Stu's saying, family members are like, I don't really get why you're doing this. Friends are like, I don't really get this. Girlfriends are like, I'm not sure I want this. Like grandparents are like, oh my God, that's dangerous. Get a real job, be a lawyer. And the whole time your intuition is going, man, like, nothing seems more right than to do this. And you don't often get to run into people that are that devoted to something they can't quite articulate or explain.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. But it's always refreshing when you have that one uncle or granddad or grandparent who's like, I'm with you 100%.
Yeah,
Go get this. Yep. You know, you can come live with me if, you know, you can't find a place to live type of support. Yep. That is nice. And that's where a lot of these guys, you know, they find, you know, support in each other, variety of ways, everything from, hey, our house has an extra room. Do you want it?
Yeah.
You know, move down here and train with us for the next 6 months. Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's a thing, guys. The thing is there is an extreme. My wife does this, points this out so well to me, like, the extreme nature, I don't mean that in a flamboyant, like there is, like there's a real, like, we don't just skydive in that community. You really put yourself out there in a different way. It's like everything has this real extreme nature to it. And you got to think about the environment in its training. Like, extreme is the word I'm going to keep using, but that real extreme, sincere connection that this tribe then gets, like, people are without this tribe and now they're getting it in such a good training environment, whether it's at Stu's or mine. Like, I really think that emotional benefit, which will segue into the ugly side of this is, man, that tribe can really help you push through training when you get there then. Cause now when you get to Buds or SFAS, like, you might show up to boot camp and see one of our guys or Stu's guys, and they run at each other or someone at a pool. But as you continue on in that process to pre-buds, to SFAS, and into selection, then you get into selection, you start looking around and like at selection at Buds, like I think at any given time, there's probably a dozen or more of guys that Stu and I have trained from pre-buds to the end of third phase. And so that's never, ever happened before. There's never been a time other than like Stu previously, because Stu's been doing this for years. It's the only time that there's been a group of guys go through that Stu. Now you have other guys like that I've trained and Stu. So that multitude of tribe is increasing at selection, which is what we're seeing. I think Stu and I are seeing, there's a flip side to it, but we're seeing our guys graduate even at a higher rate that they had been in the year or two or three years ago, because that collusion of community is so powerful. And then the flip side is potentially
there is a flip side. But before we go to the flip side, one of the neat things about a tribe and a system is that new guys come in as guys who have been there for months, right, that have been training for months, years even, and they see the level of fitness that they need to be. And then, you know, a few months later, those guys who have left and you're still in the program, those guys who have left, make it through Hell Week, make it through pool comp, you know, make it through all the different events, get their trident. And it just, that seeing is believing is so powerful that it just makes, it makes the impossibility factor go away for that individual.
Yeah. It's like, you see that, like, you can almost, those people can see causation, right? You see, hey, I'm in this like day, like guys show up for the first week here or first week at Stu's, and they're seeing guys that have been there for 6 months, and they've seen guys that have been there 2 months and 3 months and 1 month, and they can gauge their level of progress. They can propose to themselves, hey, in a month, I should be at that milestone. In 3 and 4 months, I realistically can reach that milestone. And if I stick with this, we just had guys graduate buds. That's a reasonable causation position to be. It's like, oh, the cause and effect, like, hey, I'm going to go through this, and the effect is I'm going to be able to get through selection. There's never been a time where people can see causation and attach themselves to that with milestones with other people that are in it real time.
Yeah. Now, if you're in a program, like, you know, either at the Naval Academy or ROTC program or things like that, where you're years behind people making those journeys, you know, that's another way that is,
It's a real, it helps good a lot. One. It's like Olympians, right? Olympians, young Olympians on the quad can see, hey, this is my first approach to a quad. And they get attached to another, that's like say a wrestling team. It's my first quad, but I joined the team with guys that have been through the quad 4, 5, 6 times. And now they can adopt the process that, again, the causation. They can look at Jordan Burroughs and go, hey, 3-time world champion, 3-time Olympic gold medalist, that dude's process is probably worth looking at. And that's what you see too, is because what you also don't see with Stu and I is so many guys that have gotten tridents or their warfare pin have walked through this door or showed back up at training at Stu and go,
that's
holy
huge.
Shit, this fucking worked. Like, no kidding. It's like the guys that go play at Troy, my alma mater, play football in the off season. They come back to Troy and train because that's rooted in a process that they know is successful.
That's awesome.
So we get that too. You start seeing this. We have an open door policy. If you've gone train here in person and you get your warfare pin, you can come back through this door anytime you want and train for free.
Yeah.
More or less. Like, yeah, it's not cool. An open gym, but it's like, hey, I'm going to be in town, or hey, I'm at the team, or we've got a class going on and you're going to the Peak and Taper, jump in with the class. Like, just in the same way those college football players come back to the alma mater and train in the off season.
Yeah.
You see this really, really nice holistic circle that's happening. And what you see too is some of my guys go train with Stu. Some of Stu's guys come down here, and ultimately they start, you know, Stu's got a story to show you, like, there's some national reach happening.
Yeah. Oh yeah. These paddles behind me, they're not my paddles. You know, these are paddles that guys that have made it through, got their pins, and came back and presented me with a paddle in front of all these new guys.
Right.
You know, and how powerful is that? You know, that has nothing to do with me coaching, right? That has everything to do with the tribe understanding that there is a process to follow. This thing that they want to do, they've been dreaming to do for years, is not impossible, and they can get this done, you know, with the right mindset and
100%. Yeah. That's what I was saying. Like, I guess the phrase would be correlation equals causation.
Sure.
And that's what you're seeing. You're seeing all these young guys correlating that your process is going to yield in this cause, the effect of success. And you know what? They're right.
Yeah.
They're absolutely right in observing that. Sure. You and I.
Sure. Absolutely. And I will say this too. There is a flip side to this, and we discussed it a little bit before the show, just to be prepared for the bad that comes with this, because it can happen. What I have seen is some of the groups can get a little clicky, right? Like, sometimes you get a little clicky with these groups, and now let's say there's a group of four that all live together. They're all in the same house. You know, they still all train with the bigger group, but they're all four of on their own kind of doing their own thing. They all work at the same place. They've, you know, they're just each other's group. And then they all four enlist together, and they all four go to Buzz together. They're going through the first few weeks of first phase together, and then one of them quits. One of them says, "You know what? This isn't for me," and for no real reason. I mean, physically able to do everything, hasn't failed anything. Just something happens, and they change their mind. It happens, and next thing you know, the second guy follows them. The third guy follows them. All four of them quit. And you're just like, what the hell just happened? All these guys were freaking studs, right? And then that sends ripples throughout the entire tribe of like, holy crap, we got to work harder. You know, and I say that personally because I graduated Academy in 91. In 1990, there's the seniors that we revered that were heading to Buds, and we're like, man, that's we want to be just like them. You know, they're training. They got the Buds billet. We're doing everything they're doing. And then four dudes that were in the same house that lived off base in the same house, four guys quit from the academy, send not just ripples, tsunamis through the whole process. And,
Because there
you know,
wasn't at that point, there was never that level of what was perceived as a failure with that group of people from, right? There's all there
right.
had always been
Yeah.
just to give people background, the success rate for Naval Academy graduates by percentage is still higher than anyone's, right?
Yeah.
Of the number of people that have come through and tried, like from civilian world, OCS, you know, whatever it is. The highest person, but it makes sense because of that screening process is so long, right? It
The
should be
screening
that high.
process, yeah, it should be that high. In fact, we're pissed when we have less than 100% because
Yeah, you bet.
there's no excuse in
There's so many
the
people have
amount.
done it before. We're
The
talking
amount,
the
well,
process.
yeah,
Exactly.
plus the amount of years that you have to do. There's all these hurdles every year of the
Yeah, there's a
process
lot.
that you have to do. And there's active duty SEALs here, you know, that have been running the program for years. And, you know, so you have access in ways that other people don't. So, but anyway, that was one of those times where the tribe was probably just a little too tight. And that is some of the flip sides I have seen, and I've had it happen with our guys too, a few times. But then there's always that one guy that says, "F you, I'm not quitting," right? And he has to change his tribe right in the middle of second or first phase, you know, second week. You know, he has to like, okay, well, I'm in this. You know, he had the right kind of right had kind of had the right mindset. So I think that is when, you know, group training works really well to like iron sharpens iron. You get that next level, you competitive, you push. But then solo training also works really well for those times when you don't feel like doing anything, but you do it anyway.
You bet, 100%.
You've gotten that
Accountability.
next, yeah, you've gotten that next level. And if your buddies do quit, screw it. You're still going. So.
Yeah, I that was my experience again. It's like we are off camera talking about one of the guys in my class, rest his soul. But like I had a guy in my Buds class, the person that I was closest to going into Buds, up to first through indoc into first phase, he quit on the first Friday. Like my closest friend, and like his father was the CEO of Warcom, so he was kind of a known quantity. So the Buds instructors were aware of kind of who he was, and he was like really like, you'll see when you get to Buds. Like, I was very clicky with my group of people because you just get friends. There's 188 people in Buds class. I'm not friends with everyone. You just kind of for whatever reason I became friends. But anyways, he quit that Friday. It was before lunch. We did pool work in the morning. And they were right by the cafeteria and went to the cafeteria and he wasn't around. And I remember. It was Scotty Walker. He came up to us and he goes, he's like, "Hey man, we're so and so." And they said his name. I'm not gonna say his name. And I was like, I repeated his name and I was like, "I'll say his name is John. Where's John?" I was like, "Who's John?" And he goes, "Oh man, that's cold." I'm like, that's the way it is, man, for me. It's like the process has nothing to do with anyone else but me. Keep that in mind. Like, because I think that this is to my segue to this is I think that people like that, like when you start seeing that happen, instead of going, oh my God, that high performer, like, what about me? I go, I would switch and go, well, no, I was able to keep up with that high performer. I'm not sure what he's doing, but that person that's a high performer that's quitting, obviously he's something's going on here. I'm not doing that.
Right.
You know, and that's for everyone to decide. I'm not trying to create a negative connotation about people that quit. That's a whole other cross to bear that I'm not going to even begin to kick somebody when they're down. Like that's,
yeah, sure.
I don't think it's the end of anything. That's a tough decision that someone's made. I was able to get through it, didn't have to make it. And we're just trying to share our mindset.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I had a buddy of mine and he didn't even quit. He just got rolled. And I remember that bothering me, like not negatively, like I hate you. It was just like, oh man, my buddy's not going through buds with me. And you know, we were doing well together, you know, keeping people pumped up. But you know, when you lose your classmate, your tribe has to rearrange itself, just like boat crews. You know, like when people start quitting, you know, new boat crews are being formed every hour. And especially in those first few weeks. And
yeah, that happened too. Yeah, like you know, like they're sweet mates at Buds. So my roommate and I were the roommates all the way through PTR, first, second. We never separated, which was awesome. But our sweet mates we got really close with, but they got rolled. One of the guys got dropped in second phase. The other guy got rolled. Well, we had just gone to LA, that guy that got rolled, because we got visas to go to Rio de Janeiro. Because for Bud's graduation, we were going to go to Rio.
Oh, wow.
But he got rolled. So in second phase, we got the visas, but we never went because he got rolled in pool comp. So to your point, I was like, damn. It was beyond like my dude, like one of my dudes, you know? Like, but anyway, so like to your point, like it's if you get through Buds or any of these selection courses and not have to switch roommates, that's like a miracle. That's what I'm saying. Like you might be Buds with your roommate and your roommate's going to quit that day. Don't let it get to you.
No, you can't.
It's going to happen.
That's really why we're having this conversation is that you just have to, it's nice to have buddies that you train with, that you go through training with, but if they change their mind somewhere along the way or get injured along the way and it doesn't, your future is without them now, you have to be able to handle that.
Yeah,
you know, and a good way to handle that is like have your group training bros and then have your personal training bros when you're on, you know, just you and get after it regardless.
Every Buds class has Buds graduates. Attach yourself to the people that aren't going to quit.
Yeah.
Like I don't mean that in a facetious way. I just mean, it's like, hey, yeah, I'm going to try to be somebody and follow someone that's not going to quit. How about you be that person that everyone else follows?
There you go. Yeah, that's a good way to do it.
There's the other one.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
So here's a funny story, Jeff. It's kind of brought this whole story, the idea for the podcast together is one of my guys that is trained with us locally. I'm helping him out online and stuff. And he is out in, we'll just say West Coast. He's out on the West Coast and, he goes swimming and he sees a guy swimming combat swimmer stroke across the pool. And he's like, might be a buddy. Let me see who this is. And then he notices the tire fins and the thorn shaker that is y'all you. And he goes, he might be one of Jeff's guys. Let me go introduce myself. And so sure enough, Jeff guy and a Stu guy meet up at a pool and are swimming combat swimmer stroke together now, you know, at the same time, you know,
as it should be, right?
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah. And certainly we know, like, that's the cool thing is we know that whatever's been taught both ways, they're both are going to be in a position to benefit from it. Like that's the beauty of learning stroke, the same stroke from two different people. You can grab what from each person, what suits your style.
Oh, absolutely. There's so much preference in these things. Like I always tell people, it's kind of up to you if you want to do it this way or this way. It just has to be a legal underwater recovery stroke is really the main goal, and what's efficient for you is, you know, is what you need to find. So
absolutely, yeah.
Cool, man,
good stuff.
So what's been happening, Jeff? I haven't talked to you in a while. What's going on there at Performance First?
Well, right now, so we got done with our seventh class a couple weeks ago. Just did some travel, did a podcast, and just some things, you know, life stuff. So we've got, what do we got? We got a tactical seminar 001 coming up. I'm not sure I was gonna. We only got a few spaces left in that. Then we have another class coming up in end of May and through June, a summer class. But right now, it's just this stuff, catching up, doing some admin stuff, improving the website, and being an online coach, if you will, right now. So that's about it. Now it's pretty, cool. It's good. Like I'm really focusing on me now. It's been a minute. So making sure my training and diet and sleep is super dialed in going into this next couple months. Cause it's been a minute, you know? So that's it. Pretty basic stuff.
Yeah. I think that's pretty standard. You know, every year I prepare for my, I have new PRs that I like to set, and these new PRs are with my doctor. Whether that is that's blood pressure, triglycerides, you know, cholesterols, all of that. And so I always take them very seriously about, you know, setting a new PR with my doctor. And he gets so excited, like when I come in there like 10 pounds lighter and, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, your numbers are
awesome. That's where I'm at. Like blood markers now really are important. I mean, not that they weren't before in my 20s, but I was training so vigilantly and I had pretty good focus on my diet, and like, it's been improved for sure. But like, that's the thing, that it's an interesting switch over now to like, how does 44-year-old Jeff feel better? Well, it's the blood work. That's really what I'm seeing now. Totally. Like, right. Yeah. I totally agree. I'm the same way. Yeah. We're about to do blood work again. Yep.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. Here at, outside of Annapolis, we are wrapping up another semester at the academy. Then they'll go off to their summer training. Before that, we'll probably do another Spec Ops triathlon. So those of you who don't know what a Spec Ops triathlon is, it's a 4 mile run, 4 mile ruck, 1 mile swim with fins. Just a fun time. And we'll probably do that April. I think we're doing one April 1st and then another one in May for the summer one. So yeah, still training, working out, writing about it.
What's your body weight sitting at right now?
205.
Same. Yeah, it was 207 yesterday. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. I'm trying to get to 195. That's where I'm like, I'm feeling.
You'll
the
be
best.
Able to, like, but you tend to be a little bit heavier in the winter though, right?
Yeah.
A little bit. Yeah. And you're the running. Yeah. So that's too. Is I've committed now to like doing cardio for sure, sustained cardio at least once a week for sure, like for a while. But I'm doing jujitsu as well. So I'm trying to, I might get up to 3 days a week of cardio, because that's just, I have to from, getting older, got to do sustained cardio.
Yep. Agreed. Agreed.
So it's like same pattern, same path.
Yeah. I what I do now? I go for long dog walks and focus on my breathing. Do some box breathing while I walk my dog. Sometimes I'll put on a ruck, make it a little harder.
Same. You know, that's so, where I'm getting at now. I'm like, it's about, because weather's really starting to get good here, better.
Yeah.
So it's about rucking season. About a couple of weeks out from rucking season, and I'll be doing that twice a week for sure, probably.
Great.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
all right, folks. So find your tribe. And if you need help finding a tribe, you can check us out. PerformanceFirstUS.com and StuSmithFitness.com. And just email us, DM us. We'll get you on track. You might even be able to find some guys that, are training in your neck of the woods that are actually training with us. And in fact, the other day I made a link, there are two guys training in outside of San Diego that were about 10 miles apart. I'm like, you guys should meet each other.
Together. Yeah. Oh yeah. There's a bunch. We're getting to that point. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. For sure. Yep.
Awesome, all right, folks.
Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a good one. We'll see you guys next time.